This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To paradise, to the south of France, my colleague Simon Constable watching the south of France as he watches his native England. There's much politics in England, but we're going to start with the climate because the last week, the reports across the Mediterranean basin are a melting heat wave, severe. Not usual at all. 120 degrees in Sicily. That country wilted to the point of people were not going outside. Last time we talked to Simon, it was equally tough in the south of France, where it's supposed to be paradise and you're taking the waters for August. All of France is on vacation. Simon, a good day to you. Has the weather broken? Because there are reports variously that it has in Italy, in the Italian peninsula, and here on this side of the Atlantic also in the last 48 hours, the heat wave is abated. How is it with you? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John. We're very fortunate. Yesterday, we got a break in the weather. Big thunderstorm popped out the electricity for a little while, but not much. And so we basically got rid of this 100 degree days, which was really frying us and making it really very hard to actually think straight. Today, the high 73 Fahrenheit, the low 62 Fahrenheit. We may get some more rain later in the day. I'm not really sure how that's going to work out, but it is really, really nice. Perfect weather for me. Can take the dogs out any time of the day that I wish to without worrying about them basically getting heat stroke or something like that.
We go to your plum tree. Are you harvesting outside your window?
I'm not harvesting outside the window, but I am harvesting from the basically the hedgerows along the walks. I take Juno and Lyra, and I've been eating these damsons, which are these purpley blue plums, which are absolutely delicious and ripe right now. And I have a few of those on the walk, and they're really lovely. And the blackberries are just about ripe, and I've had a few that are a little bit sour, but basically they're all turning to that really tasty, really sweet flavor that you expect when you eat a blackberry, and that's been delicious too.
Yes, blackberries here in New England are ready to ripen. They're changing colors now, so it's surprising. Even though we're nominally far apart, we're following the same season, the heavy rains, and then the hot temperatures and cooling. Now, you mentioned Juno and Lyra. Juno's the older sister. Lyra's the baby sister on walks. How is Lyra doing? Is she staying with you when you walk, or is she following Juno?
Well, a couple of things have happened over the last couple of weeks with Lyra. She's calmed down a lot. And I put that partly down to Juno teaching her how to behave. She doesn't bite now. She does a bit of gnawing like a baby does on your fingers a bit, but really very friendly now and lots more gentle with us. That's my wife and I. And that's very, very nice. Today, I took her on her first walk on a lead, or a leash, as you call it in America. I took both dogs out on a leash and I took them for a 2.5 mile walk, which isn't a very long walk, but it is for the puppy. So I'll take Juno out later today for an extra walk so that she can get fully tired out. But she was very, very touchy at the beginning and really didn't like the leash. At the end of it, she was fine. She just got used to it. And so that was probably about a 45-minute walk. She was fine at the end of it. I think she's going to be fine and get much more acclimatized to that way of going for a walk very quickly.
We leave nature and head to the hard part, industrialization, commodities. You've watched energy, you've watched the metals, you've watched the bourgeois commodities for food and coffee especially. I'm interested in what's moving in this year and over the last couple of weeks. What have you got, Simon?
Okay, well, let's start a little way down the list I've got here. TTF, which is the price for natural gas, which is how electricity prices are derived in Europe, are now down to 31 euros per megawatt hour. You may remember a few weeks ago, it was 34 and even a bit higher than that. So on the year, it's down 16%, which is absolutely great. And Brent, the same, it's down 12%, and it's $67 a barrel now. So those are two very important things. Then we come down a bit further. Lithium. Lithium is very interesting. It's not gone down, it's gone up. And all the last year, I've been talking about lithium and saying, well, it's a reflection of what's going on in the electric vehicle market in China. And they're the biggest electric vehicle producers in the world. And now this has gone up quite considerably. It's up 17% on the year. And really much of that has been in the last few weeks. What's happened here is nothing to do with the EV market. It's to do with China and other countries basically saying, well, the price of lithium's got too low, so let's stop making or extracting lithium from the ground because we're going to have a surplus and it's just going to keep prices down. So don't think that this increase has anything to do with electric vehicles. It isn't. And it doesn't mean that China is turning around and going, ooh, fantastic. Iron ore the same, wheat pretty much the same. Orange juice continues to seem to drip a bit lower. So that's $2.43 a pound, down 49% on the year. And cocoa slipped again. It's now a little bit below $8,000 a metric ton. That's about 2,200 pounds. And it's down 17% on the year. And coffee is still giving me palpitations. It's 42% up on the year. So there's pretty much the whole story for you. But that big move in lithium is saying that even China has woken up to the fact that what they're doing wasn't working.
You live with the farmers of the south of France, a dominating lobby because it supports the national rally. Marine Le Pen's party expected not only to survive the next election, but take control of the government in Paris. And so you're surrounded by very conservative farmers. The reason I ask is that these last days there's been a lot of news about tariffs and about protests, both at the same time. I'm keen on both, whether you see any disruption with tariffs in your housing prices, your electricity prices, your foodstuffs, anything like that. I'm also interested in Marine Le Pen's party. You note that AfD in Germany and the Brotherhood in Italy and the Reform Party in Britain are all part of the future conversation. Would you say that at this point tariffs have in any fashion touched Marine Le Pen's party, or is that a separate matter for their concern? They're based on origins and immigration, not based on price. How do you measure them, Simon?
What I would measure is that nobody likes the tariffs coming into Europe. Europe is a slow-growing economy, and that includes Britain too. Pretty much everywhere in Europe, apart from Poland, is growing very slowly, and these tariffs are going to slow it down even further because as exports, there are going to be fewer exports from Europe to America. And America is still by far the largest economy in the world, and it consumes more than any other country in the world. And that's in big part through exports. So I think that is going to hurt some companies. I'm not quite sure which ones it's going to really hurt really badly, and that really hasn't manifested yet. But I think we'll start seeing that over the next few months, and I'll tell you about it when I see it. But I do know also that the right wing, basically across most of Europe, has risen from where it was, say, 10 years ago. It's just crept up and up and up and up. So you've got the German party, the Italian Party, Marine Le Pen's national rally, and we've got Britain's Reform UK, and they're getting a lot more popular with the voters. So right. I think we're going to see those people get into office.
We're headed to the United Kingdom, and not just Reform UK, but Labour in dominant control of Parliament, and the problems that are right now facing Labour that do not have solutions. This is CBS Eye on the World with Simon Constable in Paradise. We're leaving Paradise and we're going to Great Britain, Mother Country. I'm John Batchelor.